Father in heaven, how can we thank you for the many miracles that you perform? And how you even bother, as David said, to care about us mere mortals. But it's true. And we want to honor you in the Paradise Church. We want to acknowledge you and your Bible as the only source of inspiration and truth. And now we want you to speak to us through the common, well understood parable of the lost sheep, that we may see an aspect we never saw before, and it will draw all of us closer to you and to the task which you've given us through this parable. So pour out your Spirit, keep Satan out of here, and Lord, use me to present clearly these points, so that we will have heard Jesus, we will have seen Jesus, and we can leave here changed. So blessed to this end, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to be reading at verse number 4. Luke 15, verse number 4. And then I say, children, open your Bibles. I hope you brought your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Luke 15. It's a beautiful parable. And see what Jesus wants to say to the children also today. Okay? All right, let's go. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. I want you to look at your bulletin insert, and first of all it says define rhetorical question. For you see, in answer to the allegation by the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus asked them a rhetorical question. So I'm asking, what does rhetorical question mean? I'll bet you've all used that word before. But do you know what it means? You know why I'm asking you that? Because I've used words before that I really didn't know what they meant. So let's take a look at this. Rhetorical question is, are you ready? It is a figure of speech in the form of a question posed for its persuasive effect without the expectation of a reply. And notice in the King James, it is, which man of you, and I change it to my kind of language, which one of you, which one of you would do this? For they had just accused him of sitting down with sinners and eating with them and receiving them, and I'm going, hallelujah. And he says, okay, which one of you, if you did not have 100 sheep and you lose one, would not leave the 99 and go after the one which was lost? A rhetorical question. And by the way, you read it there. There's no expectation of an answer. But number 2 on your outline is, what is the answer? What is the answer? Every one of us. Every one of us would say, I'll go. He's looking right at them and saying, hey, do you own 100 sheep? Yeah, I own 100 sheep. Do you like your sheep? Oh, yeah, they bring me lots of money. Every fall, I you know, shave them. Or every spring I shave them and I take it down to the market, and it really helps my family tremendously. I love my sheep. Hey, what would you do if you lost one of them? Hey, I'd go after it. One sheep and you had 100, you'd do squat. Oh yeah, I'd go after it. Why? Well, it's my sheep. I've invested in that sheep. Come to think of it, I love my sheep. They've been very good to me. And Jesus is going, which one of you would sit around and do nothing when one got lost? In fact, if we take a look at point number one of this incredible parable, Jesus clearly teaches least in number. The very first thing we get out of this incredible parable is least in number. One sheep. In fact, look at the quote you have under point number one, under number three. It says, though your effort for good have been unsuccessful 99 times, and you receive only insult, reproach, and hate. Yet if the 100th time proves a success, that one soul is saved. Oh, what a victory is achieved. Amen? One soul wrenched from the Satan's grasp. One soul benefited. One soul encouraged. This will 1,000 times repay you for your efforts. The least in number Jesus chose to get our attention that to God everybody is valuable. By the way, I never like to leave things to guess. I rather plant the seeds now and as it develops for you to catch it right away. You know, we had Babylon Rising and we got a bunch of names. And I want to know if you took one. And if you've gone to visit them yet, because we now see Jesus' answer to the scribes and Pharisees who questioned him about the kind of people he hung around. He said, which one of you would not leave the 99 and go after the one that was lost? Now, we're going to get to this in a second, but that would be the one that's lost is the most likely that you would despise or be angry with, would you not? Least in number. And here we are told, no matter what the cost may be, if you get one soul, that a great victory is achieved. The second point that we find in this beautiful parable is, notice, the one who is lost is the most helpless. Am I not right? Imagine, if you would, that one lonely sheep out there somewhere. And by the way, it conjures up pictures just like this one, which you've all seen somewhere, probably at the Christian bookstore. You've come across it before. Look at how tenuous the situation that sheep is in. And by the way, look at the position the shepherd puts himself in order to save that one sheep. It's the most helpless. It is. By the way, have you ever looked really closely at the shepherd's psalm? Where's the shepherd's psalm? Psalms 23. I didn't hear anybody back here say that. Psalms 23. Have you ever wondered why it says, He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul. He leads me into green pastures. Why does it say that? Because the sheep are incapable of going to green pastures without jeopardizing their safety and their welfare. Do you know in a field that the shepherd brings the sheep to, First of all, he probably already checked it out in advance, but if he didn't, the first thing he does is he orders his sheep, sit down. And by the way, then he's got his hands full because trying to tell the sheep where to sit and where not to sit is a very difficult situation. Never mind. And then he goes throughout the field and he pulls up all the obnoxious weeds that will cause the sheep to get sick. Why? Because the sheep will eat them. And why does it say calm waters? Do you know that a sheep will stand by rushing water and die of thirst for fear to drink? Did you know that? The shepherd has to take it to calm waters where it will drink, or it will perish. Jesus is looking at the religious leaders like, hello, the least in number, the most helpless. That's why I receive sinners and eat with them. And if Jesus does that, we should do it. Point number three, it costs too much. Does it? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Or, how's this? I'm tired. I've worked all week. I'm trying to think of all the things a pastor thinks of. Hey, the football game's on. Stop and think. While the least in number is the most helpless, is out there in jeopardy, what are we doing? Are we taking one name? And by the way, Karen has those names. David has turned those names over to Karen. Or he's still doing it too. But have you seen Karen and got a name? If you have you visited the name? If you have and nothing happened, then come back to Karen and get another one. And Karen, I hope you get that robe off real fast and you're in back every time church is over so you can help them have their names. And Dave, of course, is assisting in that, and Cordell's assisting in that, and Glenn is assisting in that. Boy, I wonder what the scribes and Pharisees are thinking at this point. You know, when Jesus is thinking, it doesn't cost too much to me, I dreaded putting this slide up, folks. But for God so loved the world, He gave. Do you understand what the word gave means? What does the word gave mean? Seriously. It means forever turn something over. God so loved the world, He gave what? A couple bucks? He gave His Son. And by the way, we know that Jesus gave Himself. Doesn't it say that in the shepherd chapter in John what chapter? John 10, I give up my life and I take it up again. The least in number, the most helpless, and to God it isn't too expensive. Number four. What's the fourth point of this incredible parable? Look at that picture. Is that not a gorgeous picture? It's one of my favorite. Jenny, this isn't the one we have, right? We have the one where he's holding the lamb. You don't remember? Okay. When he found that sheep, he does not scold it. Did you read what it says here? It says, and when he found it, you knucklehead! Why did you do this? You know what it cost me to get here? I've stumbled in the dark. Look, and I fell down three times. I'm bleeding here and here. I could have fallen over the precipice trying to reach down and grab you. And this is what you do. I feed you every day. I water you every day. What kind of way is this to repent me? Get out of here right now. Let's go. Go on. Get home. And I over-exaggerate, not to be humorous in the pulpit and to defraying the sacred desk, folk. I do it because that's how an Italian mind thinks, that I see him picking me up tenderly and putting me on my shoulders. And He could not make me feel more guilty by that act than if he kicked me. And I go, what are you doing, Lord, carrying me? He said, because I missed you. But Lord, I'm the one that wandered away. He said, I know that, but you're too important to me. I can't let you be out there where the wolves are. Oh, Lord, help me not to be like this. He doesn't scold it. He picks it up. He carries it. I want to teach you a song. Do you guys know Isaiah 40, verse 11? Let's read that together. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Come on. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let's do it one more time. It's so beautiful. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. My friend, if you're facing a trial, a tribulation, a hurt, a pain, a disaster, a crisis, anxiety, fear, whatever it may be, learn these scriptures and sing them. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. You're one of them. And we just heard that the shepherd goes out of his way to bring them to still waters. He goes out of his way to bring them to safe pastures. He restores their soul. And then he leads them in the paths of righteousness. No matter what you're facing, he is with you. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Please keep these beautiful scripture songs in your heart and mind. If you don't know them, then come to our prayer sessions on Wednesday, our day of fasting and prayer, or prayer meeting, so you can learn these. And we'll fill our hearts and minds with Scripture. Scripture. Well, let's get to point number 5. Are you ready? He puts it on his shoulder, and then what's point number 5? There's joy in heaven. I mean, forget the fact he calls his friends and neighbors and says, celebrate with me. What blows my mind is he then goes on to say, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. How can we be placing such a low estimate on that least of number that's the most helpless and worried about the expense that we all are guilty of when we have all those names that need to be contacted? Do you realize you may go to their house like some have in the last couple weeks and they say, hey, yeah, I went there and I'm looking forward to January. No, I don't want Bible studies right now. You know something? The fact you went to see them. By the way, if that was me, I'd pray with them before I left, right? What can I pray for you about before I leave? And don't ever forget their name and say their name in that prayer. Pray for those people. Prayer does incredible things. And then when they come to the meetings, it might be because when January came, they were tired, exhausted, but they remember your visit. I'm wondering what the scribes and Pharisees are thinking. For not only did he say there's a party on earth, but he then tells us there's a party in heaven over one sinner that repents. Look at this. Who did I promise? Last night I promised something. Here's what a happy church is. Do you look at the quote that you're going to carry home with you? The church that engages successfully in this work is a what? Happy church. Amen? That man or that woman whose soul is drawn out in compassion and love for the erring and who labors to bring them to the fold of the great shepherd is engaged in a blessed work. Oh, what a soul-enrapturing thought that when one sinner is thus reclaimed, there is more joy in heaven than over the 99 just persons, second volume of the Testimonies, page 22. Isn't this beautiful? Folks, the least in number. And then we find out that it's also the most helpless. And then we find out it doesn't cost too much. And then we find out he doesn't scold it. And then we find out there's joy in heaven. That all of heaven is interested in a soul. You know, I got something that I was just told. You know, our brother Leander Paddock works at the mines over in Prim. And on the bus going to work, a man stood up, a desperate man stood up and says, "If there's anyone here who knows how to pray, will you teach me? Because my 14-year-old daughter ran away." And Leander says, I know how to pray. And they connected together. And now because of that, you heard our elder Larry King pray for the man whose daughter ran away. And I'm telling you, all of heaven rejoiced because Leander could have sat on that bus full of thick-armed, hairy-chested men. And he could have thought, "I'm not telling anybody I pray." There's joy in heaven. Hallelujah. There's joy in heaven. The last point, number six, except I invented one more point. Christ teaches that salvation does not come by us seeking after God, but by God seeking after us. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's how salvation comes. And what a lesson he taught the scribes and Pharisees. By the way, in your bulletin, under the announcement section, at the very top on the inside, you will find a quote. And that quote will really enlighten you to what was going on when they asked Jesus that question. Very top. You go ahead and read that quote and see that Jesus was proving to the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot earn heaven. You come to me as you are first, and then I give you repentance. God is seeking after us. Do you love that picture? Look at that picture. Isn't that an incredible image of Jesus like I've never seen before? In his arm is the white sheep, and coming up to join is the black sheep. And I see Jesus leaning over, and he's going to pick that one up too. Right? "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Now, before I close here, I want to remind you about our Karen desperately wanting you to get another name, maybe even getting your first name. But there's something in this parable I left out. Did anybody pick that up? Until he finds it. He doesn't give up. And by the way, when he arrives, that one soul may reject him, but he doesn't give up until he what? Finds it. And now it's up to us to assist Jesus in this process, that we would go after these people. My prayer is that you will make that decision today to get that one name and to go. And then when that's exhausted, the next name and go. And then you'll come and you'll tell us about the story and experience you had as you met with these sheep who are out there in the wilderness, wandering around, desperate, and some on the very verge of death. Father in heaven, I pray that as we close this service today, that we would have brought honor to your name, for only you are worthy. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God would move upon everyone here, including me, that we would make a decision, Father, to honor your request when you ask the rhetorical question, which one of you? And may the answer be resoundingly from all of us, yes, Lord, send me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.